Right now, there is an increasing trend of Muslims in nations, Islamic nations, cut off from the gospel of our Lord Jesus, having dreams of a man in white invading their night. They have never heard the scriptures. They have a vague understanding of Isa from the Quran, but really not much of one, not a substantial understanding. And as they go down to sleep at night, a man in blazing white invades their dreams. And this reminds me of the truth that we celebrate every Epiphany. This evening, the feast, the vigil feast of the Epiphany, in which the light and the glory of the Lord pierces the darkness, drawing nations, peoples, tribes, different languages to the Lord Jesus from far, far distances. And even now, nations are coming to God's light and kings to the brightness of his rising. This shouldn't be a surprise. This was the Lord's redemptive plan from the very beginning, to retake the lost nations of the world. Join me in Isaiah chapter 60. Let's take a look at what God has spoken through his prophet Isaiah about this epiphany, this unveiling of the light of Christ drawing in the nations of the world. In Isaiah, especially in Isaiah 60, right here, today's text, we hear of a pivotal turning point in history that this prophet is speaking of, when a light was to pierce the veil of darkness. In verse 1, we hear, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light and the glory, according to Isaiah, of the Lord has arisen. And when we hear light, we need to unpack this a little bit, because light is used in Scripture in a multitude of different ways. And here can mean a multitude of different things. Light of the Lord can refer to the Lord's visible, radiant glory, his manifestation in the world. So something we literally see with our eyeballs. But here in this text and elsewhere, we also hear light refer to the Lord's nature, his moral goodness, and his truth. In fact, in John chapter 3, we hear Jesus himself speak about the light of the Lord in this way. He says in verse 19, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." So light itself is goodness. And the people rejected the light. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Light is not necessarily the visible, seen with our eyeballs, photons in the air, but represents God's goodness, his truth, his moral character. And light is also spoken of in the scriptures in Isaiah, in Psalm 19, as a word, as the law. "Your word is a lantern to my feet and a light upon my path." The law is an expression of God's character, his goodness, his truth, the Lord's ways, the path his people are to walk in. They're all described as light. And so when we hear that the Lord's light has arisen, there's a number of different aspects of what God is speaking to us today. And what we hear in Isaiah 60 is that the light has fallen upon God's very own covenant people. In the Old Testament, As a holy priestly nation, God's people were intended to embody the light. They're to fulfill and obey the law, the goodness and truth of God, to embody the glory of God, and to be a witness and blessing to all of the nations of the world. Remember what Jesus said, that people loved darkness rather than light. The nations of the world, the peoples of the world, rejected the Lord. And so the Lord said, I'm taking Israel, and I'm making them my people. They'll be, this intent was that they would be a light to the nations. God intended to use Israel as a paradigmatic nation. This is what a nation should look like, and an instrument to draw the nations of the world back into his presence. This is the original purpose of God's people. And here in Isaiah 60, we see it's finally that the original purpose is finally restored when the light arises upon them, though they had failed, though they had fallen short of God's intent for them. So the light and the glory of the Lord has arisen. And when the Lord's light rises up, the piercing beams slicing the darkness, what happens? We see in Isaiah, the light shines into the darkness and the nations come back. The nations flock to the light. You might think of when when it's nighttime and you open the door inside, all your lights are on, but it's dark out, and then all these moths just come straight into your house, and you want to open the door to do something outside, but then you just can't risk it because of all these moths coming in. Well, it's kind of like that. With the moths coming into the light, the nations are flocking to the light that comes on. Nations here are the non-Israelite people groups. They finally come. They learn of and glorify the God of Israel. Whenever we hear the word Gentile used, those are the non-Israelite peoples, the nations. The Greek word is ethnos. That's where we get ethnicity. So you think it's all the different people groups of the world. Thick darkness, we hear in Isaiah, covering and eclipsing these fallen nations has finally been pierced by the light, and the peoples respond to this light like moths at nighttime to light. This is, though, Isaiah's theme, not just in Isaiah chapter 60, but from the beginning. In fact, this is God's plan from the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 2, we hear him say, "It shall come to pass in the latter days, at the end, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Israel, that of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths.'" They're coming to his law, to his truth, his goodness. And Isaiah says at the end of this section, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the plan from the get-go. Nations and their leaders are traveling to the light at this pivotal moment, from really far distances. We hear a list of different nations in Isaiah 60, but it includes Sheba, which is south Saudi Arabia today, which is not close by, and then Tarshish, which we don't exactly know where Tarshish was, but some believe that it was as far as Spain. That's the other side of the Mediterranean, a far distance. The light must have been shining far in order for the nations to come from the far east, far west, from all over. And it's not just people from different nations, but specifically national leaders, kings. We hear in Psalm 72, verse 10, today's psalm that we recited, "May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him." Now, we live in a post-Christian world, how politically controversial would it be today for kings, presidents, prime ministers to really explicitly bend the knee to the Lord God and bring tribute? And we have lip service in nations like England, where we have a king of England and an established church, but I'm talking about like legitimately, truly pledging allegiance to the Lord, the United Nations doing so, and giving him credence and saying all the other deities, all the other gods, all the other creeds are false and evil except for the Lord Jesus. How controversial would this be today? Extremely. And yet that is what Isaiah says happens when the light rises up and shines into the darkness. There are still many that we would consider unreached peoples today. And there are some who, there are some tribes that are very, very hard to reach, cut off. But even in some countries, like, I'll give you an example, Nigeria. Nigeria is a country, you know. There, it has the largest Anglican church in the world, 20 million people. And yet, Nigeria contains multiple nations, ethnos, peoples within, some of whom do not have the Holy Scriptures translated into their native tongue. There are still many that are yet unreached, and these are who Isaiah speaks of, the nations coming to the light. The light of God's goodness and truth beams forth, and kings lead whole nations, flocking from extreme distances to bow down to a King of kings and Lord of lords. But when does this light begin to shine? When does this pivotal moment take place? When do the nations finally come? What, or rather who, is Isaiah specifically speaking about? The light is most clearly seen in the face of our Lord Jesus. You see, the promised Messiah is the key to the Lord's light. He is the Lord's light. Isaiah, in chapter 9, speaks of the light in this way. And these are some famous Christmas verses. Those who know Handel's Messiah might recognize some of this. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And skip a few verses later. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the incarnation, the light shines into the darkness. The ancient, eternal Word of God, the spiritual light itself we hear about in John chapter 1, has now taken on visible flesh that we can see with our eyes. We have seen his glory. In his flesh, we have heard, seen, looked, and touched the radiant glory of God. So John himself, the apostle, says in 1 John chapter 1, this is the time. This is when the light began to shine brightly. At Christ's birth, nations began flocking to the light. This is what we heard today in Matthew's gospel. In chapter 2, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the far east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And going into the house, this is a few verses later, they saw the child with Mary his mother and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The light has come. The glory has arisen. And the nations are flocking to the light at the birth of Christ. This is the fulfillment of these passages in Isaiah and in Psalm 72. Just as in Isaiah 60, we hear of far eastern nations coming to bring gold and frankincense as well as myrrh, which foreshadows Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Now, fun fact, we're not actually told the number of magi, though they bring three gifts, so maybe we can assume there were three of them. We're not told that they're kings, but they do come representing nations, and surely the kings of said nations from far off eastern lands. And so, the song "We Three Kings" is not necessarily incorrect, though they might have taken some liberties. But interestingly, in the Eastern Church, there are some legends that say that there were 12 magi, which is interesting. But well after the magi's time, the gospel proclamation, even now, even today, continues to bridge the division between the Lord and the nations of the earth. In Ephesians 2, verse 13, we hear, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, who are far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." The light shines and the nations flock, brought from far distances. Ephesians 3, verse 8, or verse 6, "The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel." I want you to think about this, about the makeup of the church today. Incredibly, the church is filled with Gentiles, with people from all tribes, families, peoples, and nations. Those who have no genetic descent from Abraham, whose ancestors worshipped rocks like mine, and trees, and nature, and idols of all sorts, whose lineage was rebellion, and forefathers, children of wrath. And yet the Lord has sovereignly gathered in the nations those who once were far off, have been brought near by the light of Christ. The incarnation of Jesus is an epiphany, a glorious unveiling of God to the people groups of the earth. The nations are coming to the light of Christ. How has the Lord providentially brought me, brought you, brought us, our families, our lineages, to this light of Christ? Is the Lord's work complete in my life or in the life of my people? How can I live into being a light to the nations, embodying Christ's light to others? These are questions we all have to mull over and reflect on. I want to conclude with this story of a missionary, Yazid, who gives an account of an anonymous Muslim man who had a recurring dream where this man in white came to him, speaking incredible words, which he recorded every time after he woke up. Now, this man lived in a closed-off country with no access to the gospel or to a church or to hearing about the Lord Jesus, and yet he has this man, or this dream of this man. It's invading his mind, and he writes the words that this man speaks to him. When Yazid, this missionary, glanced at the man's notebook, the recorded dreams began with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This dream notebook contained the entire Gospel of John, despite zero access to the Bible. The light of Christ pierces the darkness, and nations are flocking to this light. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your light, the light of your Son, Jesus, beaming brightly into the darkness and drawing us near. We thank you that you have sovereignly brought those of us who were once far off near by means of the blood of Christ. And Father, we pray that you would help us to embody Christ's light, to live into your goodness and truth, and to shine brightly. Use us as a light to the nations. We pray all this in Christ's most blessed name. Amen.